Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is State Senator Mike Hastings from Tinley Park, Democrat from Tinley Park. We're joined also by Steve Furkow. He's a volunteer for the Respiratory Health Association, a double lung transplant recipient. Next Sunday will be the Hustle Up the Hancock for the Respiratory Health Association. Before we go there, though, I wanted to speak with the senator about last week's budget message by Governor Rauner. And we now have seen kind of the budget books. We see that even with what he proposed, there's a deficit or hole of between $4.5 billion and $7.2 billion, not an insubstantial sum of money. And the $4.5 billion being what's described as results of discussions of the grand bargain.
I shake my head, Rick, because
I didn't know that could be a line item. That's like that waste, fraud, and abuse line item that everybody says we have to get rid of.
We had the director of GOMB, which is pretty much the chief financial officer for
the budget office.
And I will just tell you that when you asked him certain questions, and I was firing like a laser that day because I was so upset by what the governor filed. Number one, it's not balanced. Number two, he makes false assumptions that I think are just catastrophic to our state. If certain bills don't pass as part of this grand budget, which he's had zero participation in, it's up to about $7.2 billion unbalanced. And he's got an answer to this, and he won't. He's so stuck on message, it's like a robot. And you talk to any of his minions, oh, my Lord. It's the same thing over and over again.
Well, he did finally weigh in on what he would like to see as part of this bargain. And, of course, there's been plenty of questions about, you know, what if the Republican senators vote for something and it turns out that he doesn't like it? There's also the trepidation, too, among all of you in the Senate about what if you guys pass this and it goes to the House? What does Speaker Madigan say about it?
If I was a Republican legislator, I'd be gravely concerned about what the governor will do. He's hung him out to dry before the education vote last time around. Some Republican senators didn't vote for it, and they ended up signing it. Hanging them out the dry. But there are certain things about this package that I think the governor has zero clue about. I think he's depending on the Senate to deal with this problem. And quite honestly, the Senate's the adult in the room. And it's nice for him to finally join the party. It's about 2 years too late. You know, welcome to the budget, Governor Rauner.
Well, Christine Rodonia was on Steve Cochran's show last week, and she said that when the Senate returns on February 28th that they should vote on this. Do you think there's going to be a vote on it? And where would you bet the chances are of passing this package?
Do I think there's going to be a vote? I would be optimistic about a vote. Whether it passes or not, I'm not so sure. There are certain bills that are not as, I guess, some of the legislators won't
some
be
able to vote. Some are more flame-resistant.
Some of them are very easy to vote for, quite honestly. Some of them are very difficult for both sides of the aisle to vote for. One of these bills alone would be a major win in the legislative cycle, just if it's normal times. These aren't normal times, so it's got to come to vote. Let's see where people stand, you know, and put all the bills on the board so that you know where people stand on everything. I think that's probably the most important thing they could do is put them all on the board.
But we already saw, for example, the effort to change the pension system, right, in a small aspect, and even that did not get support.
We put three easy ones on the board, Rick, and it was pretty difficult for people to vote for some of those. They didn't feel it was time. So the 28th, if it pans out and all of them pass, then it's on to the House. If it doesn't pass, it's back to the drawing board, and the governor's going to have to account for an additional $3 billion that he anticipates on saving. And I don't think he's able to do that, Rick. And when I asked the GOMB, I said, what do you plan on doing to make your revenues match the expenditures? They were unable to answer, and that's a problem.
Well, a significant problem because, we've been without a budget, a full-year budget, for the past 2 years. We have no budget now. That expired in January. And we continue to see the social service safety net crumble. When you look at the governor's budget book, in some of the estimated cuts that he would make, those go to a number of social service providers.
Right. But looking at the higher ed, just looking at higher education, our university system, we talk about this before, he's going to cut that another 10%. And then so for human services, from maintenance, the maintenance budget of what he should be passing is about $200 million short on that as well. So our social service agencies that are crumbling, they're going to crumble even more if this guy doesn't come up with a better plan to move things forward. It's our job to authorize the spending. It's his job to actually spend the money. And last 2 years, it's just been atrocious. The state's problems have been exasperated under this governor. Don't get me wrong. I'll acknowledge the fact that over the last 30 years of both Republican and Democratic governors, you know, this has kind of set up this problem to what it is today. But when he came into office to shake up Springfield, I was hoping he was going to shake it up for it to be better, but it's a lot worse now. There's another looming problem, too, Rick, that I don't think we've talked about. You know, pensions, the pension cost has, from 2008, was 6% of our budget. 6%. Today, it's 25% of our budget. That needs to be addressed first and foremost. And I think through this package and maybe some refinancing of how we go about paying for somebody's costs needs to happen soon.
But are you confident that something can be done this year, given the enormous scope of the problem, the enormous tax increase that's going to be needed, as well as enormous cuts, with the prospect of 2018 looming right around the corner?
Every day we wait is $11 million. $11 million. And by Election Day 2018, if the governor fails to act, it's going to be the back bills will be at over $20 billion. Now is not the time to politicize. And the people of Illinois can't afford it anymore. And it's time for him to act. That's why you were elected to lead. And for me, if you're elected to be the governor, you lead the people, not put poison pills into the General Assembly.
I still don't feel the optimism. Sorry. It's just the nature of the game in Springfield is that people in the legislature don't like to make hard votes, and they're going to have to make a bunch of them here.
Well, I didn't get sent down there to sit on my hands. I know that. I'm sorry you don't feel optimistic, Rick. You know, that's why you're the enemy of the people.
How did I know that was going to come up? Oh, thank you so much, Senator. I've been told off this morning.
Just so I'm not the enemy of the people, I just wanted to say hi to my wife and Mikey that are listening at home. I love you guys.
Thanks a lot, Senator Hastings. Well, as I said, joining us here in the studio along with the senator is Steve Furkow, who's a volunteer for Respiratory Health Association, a double lung transplant recipient in 2000, also a kidney recipient as well. Steve, thanks so much for joining me.
I'm quite honored.
Well, we have this Hustle Up the Hancock. This is the 20th anniversary of this, and each of you are taking part in this. Why don't you tell me, Steve? You're doing your 15th climb.
I am,
which is just amazing. But you're also representing Team Carey.
My team is Carey's Climber. Carey was a beautiful young girl from Iowa who, in the month before she passed away, she told her family how strongly she felt about organ donation. I was in Chicago, and I was dying from living 39 years with cystic fibrosis. I now breathe with Carey's lungs, and I've breathed with her amazing lungs for 17 years. My wife and I met her family. Her family connected me with dozens of her friends and volleyball teammates. And for the past 12 years, they've come out every year to climb with me, to join my team and climb with me. And they drive hundreds of miles. It's a little reunion for them. They're all like daughters to me. After 12 years with Carey's lungs, the drugs I take to keep them gradually destroyed my kidneys. One of her beautiful friends, Alex, her hand was up in a heartbeat, and she told me she had my back, and she gave me a kidney in May of 2012. So I'm slowly being rebuilt into a girl from Iowa.
And Algona, Iowa is a beautiful place, by the way.
I've been there a number of times, and I agree. I mean, for me, anything about Iowa is a beautiful thing. But I started doing the hustle, and it's my way of being able to give back. I'm 56 years old. I'm in CF years, I'm like 140. I was not supposed to live this long, and my life was not supposed to be this amazing. People doing the hustle, people supporting RHAMC, Senator Hastings and what he's doing, this is the reason I'm alive, and it's a beautiful and amazing thing. I believe Senator Hastings was influenced by a beautiful young man named Ian, whose father passed away from lung cancer. And Ian has done amazing things for the Respiratory Health Association. And the fact that Senator Hastings jumped on and decided to haul his fanny up 94 floors it's a tribute to him. And I think that's a very neat thing.
And Carrie's Climbers has raised over $300,000.
Yes. And I never did this. I've always done this to honor Carrie. I hate fundraising. And I never did this to raise funds, but they just happened. And I'm so proud that me and my team have raised that amount of money to help people in my shoes. I'm very proud of all of them.
We're speaking with Steve Furco. He's volunteer for Respiratory Health Association. We're talking about the hustle up the Hancock. We've also got State Senator Michael Hastings from Tinley Park in studio. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune, not the enemy of the people, here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by State Senator Mike Hastings, Tinley Park, and Steve Furco, a volunteer for the Respiratory Health Association. Next Sunday is the Hustle Up the Hancock, the 20th anniversary of the Hustle Up the Hancock. And each of these gentlemen here are going to be taking part in that. I know who I'd be betting on to make it to the top first. But there's a 94 floors, 4,000 participants in this. How can people sign up to help support and help sponsor people for the Respiratory Health Association?
So Ian Pye, who lives in my district, he has a website that I'll be posting on my Facebook page. So if you want to go ahead and donate, his link will be on there, and you can do it electronically. Again, fourth grader, supporting his dad who died from lung cancer, and I can tell you he's just a warrior, a young warrior, and he's doing great things.
And Steve, I'm sure the same, if they go to Respiratory Health Association website, they can hook up with various sponsors of the various teams. And, of course, Carrie's Climbers is the team that Steve is representing. And you can go to www.lungchicago.org/hustle would be the website where you can find out more information about that. Senator, I want to go back to talk a little bit about some of the politics in Springfield. And, you know, kind of a timely, and I thought this was kind of interesting, is that you're sponsoring legislation to have a bigger investigation of what happened over at the State Board of Elections when there was evidence of foreign hacking attempts into the voter database over there.
You know, Rick, it's scary. I mean, after the election, people just sort of forgot about this, but over 70,000 names were hacked into at the State Board of Election. I think people should be having a public outcry over this. You know, your name's been compromised, your data's been compromised. That's a big deal, especially when it comes to elections. You can influence a lot of things if you have that information.
Well, and I mean, you've looked into some of this already. I mean, the board said that no data was changed.
No data was changed, but data was mined. And when you start collecting data, you can use analytic firms to do certain things to start influencing those voters. There was never a cross-reference to, like, nationality. Was it surnames? So a lot of this stuff has to be looked into. And I think people want to be reassured that the system is secure. And that's probably the big thing for me, is making sure that elections cannot be biased or influenced by outside foreign countries or internally within our own state.
Well, and Illinois, I think, was hacked. Arizona, I think, was hacked. And, of course, you know, as we become more technologically advanced and, you know, you can register to vote over the Internet, that was shut down after this breach was discovered. That was shut down for a while. The board said certain things about how you registered to vote might affect how much data may have been fished by.
Don't get me wrong. There's a minor technicality that was left open that if you're a savvy computer hacker, they hacked into it. And you know, that's what people do. That's what foreign countries do to try to influence our elections. But for me, it's about the people. You should know if we've been hacked into. We should know if what the results of that are. And for that, in our election system, which is sacred, we should be protecting our people and this process so that somebody doesn't get in there that doesn't deserve to be in there.
You've also called on Congress. This is a non-binding resolution that's done by the legislature, but it's asking Congress to look at the extent of the Russian influence in the presidential campaign as well.
Senator Dick Durbin's doing a great job. He's advocating on behalf of all the people in the country. And for me to do it in Illinois, I'm hoping that this takes place nationally to where people feel that this is a sacred process and it should never, ever be altered or influenced by a foreign country. That's what our democracy is. That's why I went overseas to fight, so we can have free and fair elections. And I can tell you I'm going to push here for the next couple months to make sure that does happen.
Well, are you satisfied that it does seem that there are bipartisan calls to kind of just look into whatever Russian influence may exist, even within the presidential campaign and the president's administration?
Oh, yes. When it comes to our country and our national security and also our state, nothing should be not looked into to make sure that it's a safe process. I looked at all the IP addresses that actually were tapping into our State Board of Elections. Some of them were back to the Netherlands. You know, if you looked at our secondary and tertiary sources where those IP addresses come from, there's some foreign countries there that we're not friends with that are looking into it.
I also wanted to know, as a veteran, your thoughts on kind of what transpired with General Flynn and as National Security Advisor, and that the issue of having those contacts with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. over U.S. sanctions, and how this has all, you know, the whole issue of intelligence and security in this country.
I'll just say that the communications between him and the Russians are inappropriate, and I'll just say that people don't resign for having no reason. There's more to the story, and I think more to the story will come out. And someone as a national security advisor, if you're going to be advising the President of the United States, we should have somebody that's above reproach. And I can just tell you, in this situation, I don't think he was.
Are you comfortable with what's going on in Washington, with given how we seem to be having this battle between the intelligence agencies and the administration?
As somebody who was one of the first cadet interns from West Point for the National Security Agency and watching what's going on, this is deathly scary. You know, guys like Vinnie Viola, who was up for the Secretary of the Army, backed out. You know, the guy, General Hayward, who's going ahead and he was going to backfill General Flynn, doesn't want to do it. If this isn't striking enough of what's going on, I don't know what else to tell you. It's very frightening.
We live in interesting times.
But that's why we need young people to step forward and lead. And right now, we have a lack of young people, and that's why I'm calling on all young people. Hey, step forward, get involved. School board, local municipality, state, federal, get involved and do something.
That's State Senator Mike Hastings, D. Tinley Park. And we've also been joined by Steve Furkow, a volunteer for the Respiratory Health Association. Next Sunday is the Hustle Up the Hancock for the Respiratory Health Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.